And I will talk to you about our men's sexual health program. But what I want to do is sort of walk you through the story of Monday and, you know, what our office does and how we came up with this campaign in the first place. And then I'll tell you a little bit about the program and what we've seen in the pilots. I have nothing to disclose. So the Monday campaigns, we are a nonprofit organization, as Paul said, dedicated to preventing chronic disease through joining together to dedicate the first day of every week to health. We do this through bottom-up and top-down approaches. We try to recruit key influencers as well as stimulate grassroots movements. We don't do any paid media, but we get a lot of pickup via press releases and the creative materials that we put out there. We don't have any licenses or formal partnerships with people, so everything that I'm showing you today, all of our resources, all of our creative materials are totally free. Anyone can use them to use with their own programs to promote what they do. So Monday campaigns got started back in 2003 with what has become our most popular campaign, Meatless Monday. You might have heard of that. That was started by our leader, Sid Lerner, who remembered from back in the day in World War II, and he was a Boy Scout, that they were doing Meatless Monday as a war rationing effort. And in his later days, he had some health issues that were related to consuming a lot of cholesterol and saturated fat, and his doctors recommended that he reduce his meat intake. So he put two and two together with his advertising wisdom, because he's from the advertising world, and decided to revive Meatless Monday as a health campaign. So that's how Mondays got started. And then in 2006, we expanded to address other health behaviors. We work with Columbia University, Johns Hopkins University, and Syracuse Universities. They're our main academic advisors. And we work on a variety of issues now: physical activity, tobacco cessation, overall wellness, caregiving, and, as you will see later, sexual health. So why Monday? Why are we the Monday campaigns? What is it about Monday that is conducive to health behavior change? Well, Monday is a shared cultural experience. We all experience Monday every week. There's a pervasive weekly cycle. You know, everyone plans out their schedule for the week. You know, maybe they schedule things on Sunday for the whole week, but the idea being every week we have some kind of rhythm to what we do. So if we pinpoint a day or a particular time during the week that we can constantly tap into, that's going to help us create habits for changing behavior over time. So there was some preliminary research done on this Monday concept by the Johns Hopkins Center for a Livable Future, and they looked into two different things through their literature reviews. One was the cultural significance of Monday, so how do people feel about Mondays, what happens on a Monday that we all generally experience together as a society, and then also the impact of periodic messaging on health behavior. So looking at programs that would do, let's say, once a month or once a week emails out to participants, you know, encouraging them to stick with their health behaviors, and how that periodic messaging impacted health behavior over time. So then when I joined Mondays, you know, surveys are great and they're important to inform our programs, but I really wanted to look at some more solid data sets that would support this theory of Monday being a good day for behavior change. And so what I started doing was looking into continuous data sets, very large data sets, which I'll show a few examples of later, to really look into this weekly periodicity and patterns in our health data to see if there were good leverage points for health communication. Why are patterns important? Well, again, leveraging these rhythms in our behavior makes it easier to create habits and to make habit change easier. You know, marketers have known this forever. That's how they sell us products. So, you know, there was a great article that came out a while ago about Target and how they were able to anticipate women's pregnancies by their purchases. And so marketers have been using this kind of strategy for years, but it's something that public health has been a little slow to adopt. So luckily, we have Mondays now to promote that in public health. So in public health, the way we usually approach data, we often aggregate it at, let's say, the monthly or the yearly level. This is great. There's nothing wrong with that. It tells us our reach, how many people are we impacting. It might help us evaluate program outcomes. What I want to do is show you a little bit of a different way to look at data, and you can do this with many different data sets that are out there, probably in your own data sets that you have in your programs. I want to break it down further than aggregating at that level into the week. So again, why study patterns over time? Well, it might show us when people are open to changing their behavior. If you think about health behavior theory, this really relates to health belief model and the cue to action, that component of the health belief model. So figuring out the periodicities and the patterns to our behavior helps us understand when are those leverage points for the cues to action. So one example of a data set I was looking into were these tobacco quit lines. So we have tobacco quit lines in every state in the U.S. They gather data on a daily basis for, you know, how many people are calling into the quit line to get help to quit smoking. So I called every state and asked them for their data. And I was pleasantly surprised because people don't use this big data very often. The states were really eager to give it to me because they thought, well, we collect it every day. It'd be nice if somebody used it. So I got 30 states' data worth of data back, and out of those, I had 16 totally complete data sets where they didn't limit weekend hours, so I could really look at comparison day-to-day data on the call volumes. So getting back to this idea, again, about aggregating data and trying to look at it at a deeper level, if you aggregated that quit line data on, let's say, a month-to-month basis, this is the type of graph you get. So you look at that graph and you go, well, I see a little wiggly line there. You know, maybe I see some more call volumes in the fall than earlier. I don't know. You might see a seasonal pattern there. I don't personally, but, you know, that's what we usually do in public health is we just put it on a chart like that. But then if you start breaking it down further and you do, let's say, week-to-week call volumes, this is, you know, week one in the year, week two, week three, you know, you see a little more wiggles in the line. It's still not much of a pattern, but, you know, it's very different from that last graph I showed you. Now, if we go down to the day-to-day patterns, this is what we see. And this, from a public health research standpoint, this is an amazing graph to me because this is showing a very clear and consistent pattern to the call volume data where you're seeing a significant surge in call volumes at the beginning of the week on Mondays and a significant drop-off at the end. This pattern happens every week, every quit line. It's completely consistent across the board. So in public health, when you see a pattern like this emerging, you should be taking advantage of these things. I mean, it's unbelievable how consistent this is. And this is not just in tobacco quit lines. This is just a little closer look at that graph there. You see the same patterns in things like gym data usage, so looking at YMCA data here. Again, you see that big surge but from the weekend into the beginning of the week and a big drop-off at the end. You see the same patterns in internet searches for health-related terms and phrases. These are Google search patterns. We actually have a paper that we're working on about these search patterns. Again, same surge at the beginning of the week, drop off at the end. So people are really looking for that health information on Mondays. Website traffic to health-related sites, same patterns. I have a couple of examples up here, the National Institutes of Health website, the Mayo Clinic, a couple of commercial sites, Weight Watchers, MyFitnessPal, same patterns across the board. They surge on the Monday, drop off on the weekend. There's also survey data to support this concept of Monday being a good day for behavior change. We did a nationwide survey where we asked people, you know, what day of the week are you most likely to do these various health behaviors? And people overwhelmingly chose Monday, whether it was to begin a diet, start exercising, quit smoking. So once again, we're seeing that Monday is a great day to communicate about health behavior. Another great thing about Monday and the weekly pattern is it easily maps to existing media. So a lot of editorial cycles are built on the week. And so, you know, and a lot of these media outlets are looking for weekly content. And so promoting health behavior, you know, what could be better to get into these magazines? So Monday is a great day to have them put that health tip in their publication or have them talk about health in some way to really tap into that weekly cycle of people being open to buy health behavior. The idea of Monday and the rhythm of the week is also supported in the literature. These are just a couple of examples. The first is from the psychology literature that shows that motivation is actually highest on Monday during the week. And I think there's an article that came out about this in the Times recently too. But people really are motivated for change and to do better with their lives at the beginning of the week. And it's weird because in pop culture we kind of have this sense of, oh, the Monday blues. Well, it turns out that's not really the case. People are kind of excited about Mondays. Physical activity in children. They did a study in Australia where they were looking at step count patterns over time in kids. And if you look at the graph, it looks exactly the same as the other graphs I showed you, where kids are much more active at the beginning of the week and then on the weekends they're not, which I thought was surprising because I figured, you know, kids or even adults, you know, you have more time on the weekend, why wouldn't you be more active? But actually it's the beginning of the week when people are getting their exercise. Okay, so now we're going to talk about the campaign. So we have this concept of Monday, leveraging Monday for health communication, health behavior. So one of our campaigns that we came up with is called Man Up Monday, and this is addressing sexual health. It was started in conjunction with Columbia University and the Harlem Health Promotion Center in New York. This is, again, part of the larger Healthy Monday movement. It targets sexually active young men, but I'll talk a little bit about how it also speaks to women as well in a moment. And the goal of this campaign is to really increase STD testing rates by using Monday as that behavioral cue. So we did a pilot program with Planned Parenthood in southeastern Virginia. They ran a Man Up campaign for their clinics where they were promoting their clinic services. They'd actually gotten a grant to subsidize HIV testing from the Elton John Foundation, and they used our creative materials and the Man Up concept to drive traffic to their website and traffic to their clinics on Mondays. So they launched that in March 2012, and again, we gave them all the creative materials. We tailored them to their needs, so we put their clinic information on our posters. We put their Planned Parenthood logo so they could really own the campaign. And they distributed these materials all over the community. They handed them out at events. They posted posters. They put it on their website, their Facebook page. So that's how they promoted themselves. So I just wanted to show you a little bit of our creative pieces. And incidentally, I'm missing the awards luncheon right now, but this campaign won the award for the print materials competition at APHA this year, so we're really proud of that. So this is our most popular poster, the Pants on Fire Hot Weekend. So as you can see, we co-branded the creative material with Planned Parenthood's logo. We put in a little line about their clinic offerings and their phone number. This is something that anyone doing STD testing or HIV testing is welcome to use. We will give you these posters. You can put your brand, your logo or whatever on it and use it to promote your own services. And again, I want to reiterate, all of this is free. Hook up this weekend, make sure you didn't catch anything. Before you hook up, stock up. So this is about you know, making sure you have condoms. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, unless it doesn't. Now this one's a little more geared towards the female crowd, but what I wanted to say about women is people often see the Man Up and say, oh, well, this is for men. You know, I don't see how this applies to women. Where's your women's campaign? You know, this poster aside, we don't have a lot that seems like it's targeting women, but what we actually found was when Planned Parenthood was doing this pilot, it wasn't so much the men coming into the clinic, but the women seeing the promotion and bringing their male partners into the clinic to get tested. Something else we did for Planned Parenthood, we made these little postcards that had more detailed clinic information on one side and then the creative on the other. We did a little brochure so that they could have some health education material along with the promotional material. If you hit it this weekend, hit the clinic on Monday. This is my personal favorite. Planned Parenthood didn't use it, but because my name is Morgan Johnson, got my mojo working. I have it hanging on my cube. It's my favorite. But what I'm really excited about, actually, is this little video that they posted that our creative team put together. It's just a little 11-second short, but I just wanted to show this to you. So this is really simple. Again, just something you can put up on your Facebook page, on your website, just an easy, fun way to promote your testing services. So the results of the Planned Parenthood campaign, they actually saw a 200% increase in testing over the first half of 2012, as you know, in comparison to 2011. In April 2012 alone, which is Get Yourself Tested Month, they doubled the number of men getting tested in their clinics. And in general, they've seen this steady uptick in men coming for STI testing on Mondays. So I think 200% increase is pretty significant, and we're really excited about that. Implications for practice. So if you're working in STI HIV testing, you know, one thing you can do is really leverage this beginning of the week open to buy mindset for health to promote what you're doing. If you do anything with, let's say, weekly texts or emails you send out or postings on Facebook or on your website, try to do it at the beginning of the week when people are really paying attention. Consider using weekly messaging to augment annual campaigns. So the example I like to give is we have the Great American Smokeout coming up in November. So using Monday to sustain those messages over the rest of the year is something that's easy to do. So if you were having a, let's say, an annual STD testing day, you'd say, okay, get tested today, and then every Monday just, you know, keep in mind that this is a health behavior that you need to pay attention to. And then, you know, on the more practical administrative end of things, if you are working in a clinic and you have to scale back hours for some reason, don't do it at the beginning of the week. Implications for research. So a few things that we still need to do, especially with the proliferation of these email and texting campaigns. We really have to do testing of messages at different times of the week, see if there are different day of the week specific content that can affect the impact of your messages. So for example, you know, you could put just a tip out on Monday, or you could say something Monday related, like start your week right by, you know, whatever. Look at exposure delays between promotions and behaviors. We're starting to do this. There are some papers in the public health literature that reflect this concept, but really looking at, okay, you know, we promoted this on Monday. When are people actually coming in to get tested? Looking at the impact of weekly messaging on different health behaviors. So, you know, it might have a different impact on sexual health than it does on nutrition, because maybe, you know, you're not necessarily going to get tested for HIV every week, but to see how that weekly messaging impacts testing behaviors versus something like physical activity, which you should be doing every day, is something worth looking into. And then looking, of course, at the effect of these messages in different settings. So whether it's community settings or looking at in different media, that's an important thing that needs to be looked at. So if you're interested in learning more about what we do in Monday campaigns, or if you would like any of our creative materials, we do have a booth here at 2300, and we invite you to join us to make Monday the day all health breaks loose. Thank you very much.
I encourage you to ask a question or two. I have a question.
Sure.
How did you test these messages? Did you do like focus groups or some sort of review with the audience before you launched these?
Well, the only message per se is the man up.
But I'm thinking in terms of, did you think of those particular graphics and those particular, you know, white boxer shorts, for instance, is that something that everybody appreciates those kind of.
Uh-huh. I have my creative team in the back here. How about focus groups? I think we just came up with it, right?
Yeah, well, I think in the first application was in Harlem, the Harlem Health Promotion did it, and so they did focus groups
right.
And had a small audience with different adaptation of it. But, you know, the idea is the Man Up Monday is so broad that depending on who's using it, they can,
And to get to your point about, you know, how the messaging is received, people definitely receive it in different ways. You know, I get questions when I come to the talks, like I said, you know, about women, or, you know, this is an aggressive way of talking about sexual health. But, you know, your message is always going to be received differently by different people. So as Peggy was saying, you know, that we tried to make it as broad as possible to get everyone under the same umbrella.
Great. Thank you.
question right at the back?
No, I was just going to add a little bit to it. Oh. I actually worked at Columbia University at the Harlem Public Social Center.
Okay.
And we did do focus groups with area high school students, working in conjunction with the health department and a program which was funded through the Rutland Foundation called Year Up. So we did a number of focus groups with adolescent youth, and then of course did with the collaboration with the Monday Campaign Strategy Department.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Was there another question?
Yes, I'm just curious, you mentioned about channels. So we can start with this free, and then go into the network, or how do we get
how do you get the materials? You're welcome to contact me. I'd be happy to, you know, get you some of our creative materials. You know, like I said, it's all free. You can go on our website and look at our gallery of all of our creative materials that we've put up. So, yes, definitely visit our website, contact me, and we'd be happy to share. Well, that's so that was when I was getting to the research implications. I think that still needs to be investigated. Yeah, I was doing a talk yesterday on media and social media and getting messages out there, and the moderator described it as a Wild West area right now for public health. We really don't know that type of thing. So we've just been getting into the research about days of the week, but certainly times of day is another thing you could look at, and that's just something that hasn't really been explored yet.
So when you have a decrease in that, and I'm saying at the same time, were there any differences, say, by age or race ethnicity? Were they concentrated among race, or did they come spread across the week?
Well, I'll answer that in two ways. As far as the demographic breakdown, they're still collecting data on that, so we'll have that answer maybe in another month or so. So please keep in touch about that. As far as the when they were coming in, they have seen a steady increase on Mondays particularly, but what they've really been trying to do is getting people to schedule an appointment. So they've had a huge boost in scheduling of appointments on Monday, but that's not necessarily when they come in, which makes sense because you don't want to overload your clinic with people getting tested. So what they really emphasize is call to schedule an appointment on Monday.